Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this panel discussion on digital transformation. My name is Fiorenzo Spadoni, and I'm honored to be your moderator for this session today. I'm not a big expert in digitalization, but in my role of North Europe Marine Senior Director for RINA Classification Society, of course, I'm witnessing the transformative power of digital innovation in the maritime industry. And I strongly believe that there is no future for any industry who doesn't embrace this transformation. I can tell you that classification society are changing their skin on this aspect, on every part of the business that they are doing. So we are an example of this transformation at the end of the day. For this reason, I'm very happy to have the opportunity to learn even more during this panel about digitalization. And today we have an excellent lineup of panelists who are at the forefront of digital transformation and digital technology. They are bringing knowledge and expertise on autonomous vessel, on maritime technology in general, and they are bringing it in a very fresh and dynamic way, since they are all representing quite young companies, so almost a startup, we can say. Our discussion will delve into how these digital transformations are reshaping the maritime industry, driving efficiency and enhancing safety. So before we dive into the discussion, let me introduce our esteemed panelist, Mr. Fabien Foussac, co-founder and CEO of Kaiko System, Mr. Pankaj Sharma, Managing Director of OneLink, Mr. Dor Raviv, co-founder and CTO of Orca AI, and Mrs. Frederic Hesse, co-founder and Managing Director of 044. Without further delay, let's get started with a quick roundtable. So I kindly ask you to each of you present what your company does very quickly, and let's say in 2 minutes, try to give you your perspective on the following question. So in the next 5 years, which digital innovation do you foresee will have the most profound impact on the maritime industry? And what do you believe will be the major obstacles that could slow down this innovation process? So, Fabien, you can start maybe.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the kind introduction. It's great to be here today. thank you also for everybody coming out. I think many of us had a long night in the early morning, probably. Thank you also for your questions. So let me briefly introduce myself and Kaiko Systems. I'm Fabien Foussac, the co-founder and CEO of Kaiko. We have been for 4 years helping the shipping industry bring a more standardized and structured data set at scale to the day-to-day work. We have been focusing especially on the frontline workers, empowering seafarers and making it easier for the frontline to make it easier to do a better job and collect data in a way that can actually be used at scale on the shore side. We've been focusing a lot on regulatory preparation and turning compliance into performance, especially on the topic of SIA 2.0 preparation in the tanker market, but also when it comes to port state control self-assessments on board of the ship, and making it easier for shipping companies to ensure compliance and not having to guess and basically being able to sleep at night easily. Very small and easy to answer question to start it off with. What would be the most profound impact over the next 5 years? My answer, maybe slightly controversial, would be that shipping still has to get a lot of the basics right in order to benefit from the most exciting new technologies, for example, AI, and really bring that to life at scale. So, but we think that is a very positive development that shipping now sees that there is the opportunity to use really advanced technology and to use that at scale and transform the business. But in order to do that, first getting the foundation and the basics right is still a long way to go, unfortunately, I have to say. And so, yeah, AI will definitely have the biggest impact, but getting the foundation right is the biggest task right now for the industry.
Okay, thank you, Fabien. So there is a lot of room for improvement, I see, in this industry. So, Pankaj, if you can give your perspective.
Yes, thank you, Fiorenzo. And my apologies for my voice. I've been traveling and I'm suffering a little bit from a sore throat right now. Anyways, I'm Pankaj Sharma. I'm Managing Director for OneLink. What is OneLink? OneLink Performance is a one-stop shop for owners, operators, charterers, any marine entity who would like to monitor, measure, and manage their performance in shipping industry. How we do it, we've got a whole bouquet of links which are integrated at the back. So to give you an example, we have RouteLink, which does weather routing. We have EmissionLink, which does the whole emission management, right from emission to submission or from supply to emissions. So we have FuelLink, which does supply procurement management, finding out the best ports to give you the best prices. Similarly, in LubeLink, we do the same approach towards how you manage your fluids on board. And then we have data management via OceanLink. And we also have a company called POCR, which is probably the only ISO-certified company which does vessel performance management in a very unique way. And finally, the latest kit on the block that we have is called EngineLink, which is an AI-powered engine room health monitoring system. We've taken a completely different approach towards managing engine room operations. As I talk about all these links, there's a little bit of AI here and there. In some places we have machine learning, in some places we have image recognition, in some places we are even using large language models. And this is also going to the second part, which is what do we see happening in the next 5 years? Definitely AI is the flavor for the next 5 years, but AI alone is not the solution or not the only thing that is going to transform digital space. Like Fabian also mentioned, standardizing or structuring data properly, that matters. So there are some companies, there are some owners who are taking this initiative in standardizing data in a much better way. We have been learning a lot from airline industry. In fact, the data management company for all airlines, it's called CETA, they've recently started a company called SmartSea, which is the same concept moving into marine. And the whole aspect of SmartSea is around having a data backbone which can then handle multiple structures of data and can be used in an app-based scenario. So how you use your mobile phones could be the similar structure of the future of shipping. So this is where we see the next 5 years transforming.
Thank you, Pankaj. So take the best of the data analytics and because it is the real wealth of the future. Okay, so let's come to Dor, please.
Thank you. My name is Dor, CTO and co-founder at Orca AI. We have successfully commercialized computer vision and AI for the commercial shipping domain. We have our camera system with AI installed on more than 600 commercial ships today. And constantly upgrading and updating its capabilities and performance. And while I completely agree with my colleagues here on the panel on standardization and data silos or data fragmentation challenges, I think that in the next 5 years, we're going to need to provide more and more tools to support our seafarers who are now working in an ever-changing, challenging environment. And for that purpose, AI is a means to an end. The end is a more appealing industry to work in. It's an industry that pulls more talents and makes sure that supply chains are not harmed. It makes sure that automation, digitalization are the tools for the seafarers to enjoy a better working environment. I don't see AI replacing anyone. I see AI empowering people on board. And I think that we have to consider the human in the loop while we develop any solution related to AI or adoption of any digital solutions. And this is where I see the industry goes in the next 5 years. It's going to be a safer, more appealing place to younger generation of seafarers. We're going to see a generation shift. A lot of old school traditional mariners going to go on the shore and younger blood will come join on board ships. And we need, as an industry, to adopt more and more tools to help those young crews enjoy their work on board, reduce the workload, and increase safety of navigation. Thank you.
Thank you, Dor. Very interesting point. So focus on humans, not on only on digital. And this will be a topic that I would like to discuss with all the panel in a while. So very interesting. Thank you very much. Frederike, your turn. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Frederike from 044. We are a very specialized software company that helps shipping companies deal with CII, EU ETS, fuel EU, and hopefully the regulation that will come from IMO. What we do is we link to your existing IT landscape. So we use the data that you are already collecting from your ships, and from these performance data, we then do the calculations for all the regulations, and then we help you to execute these regulations in the optimal way. So making sure that you collect the right calculate the right freight rates, that you get your money back from charterers or cargo owners, and so on and so forth. Current biggest challenge here is fuel EU maritime, that for the first time now is not a regulation that in itself a streamlined process where you would get a simple tax or a simple financial burden on emissions. It's actually a regulation that gives you options every day, and there are plenty of options. And it requires you to analyze continuously what is the commercially most viable way for your company. And the answer is not the same one for each company. It heavily depends on your business model, your trade routes, and so on. And that brings me to the question that I think that's what digital can really bring to the table, that we help where human beings are over the top of their heads with complexity, right? We had it on the previous panel that complexity is increasing. I think it's increasing for the people on the ships. We are focusing on the teams on shore. And if we look at what chartering teams today have to deal with and what they have to understand when they send a ship to Europe, is really mind-boggling. And I think we need to give them tools to support that. I also think that very smart data and AI-like applications can help here, because it's about complex optimization calculations, and obviously data science can do a lot here, but it's the old garbage in, garbage out problem. So I totally agree with my co-panelists here. We really have to work on data quality. It's a painful process currently, but regulation is actually helping us with this, because the regulation, especially now fuel EU maritime, I can tell because we're currently developing that product, and we can daily see the challenges we're having and how complicated it is. It's really forcing us all to get our data and our calculations right. And it's not only forcing our customers to do that, it's actually a pressure on us service providers or software providers. It's going to be an interesting market now. Who will survive this also as a supplier? Who can bring the quality to the table? Because this is no longer super simple what we're doing here. I think in the past, MRV reporting, checking, it's all been A to B processes. Fuel EU is very complicated. There's lots of interlinked things you can do when a much higher complexity in fuel types and whatnot. So, yeah, interesting to see. I think the next 5 years we will be very busy dealing with that. And each shipping company will be very busy getting their data to higher quality level.
Okay. Thank you very much, Frederick. Very good points. So bring the quality to the table through the quality of the data, with always a focus on the human element. Very, very good. Okay, so let's delve into some of the points you just made. I would like to start with Fabian. Fabian, Kaiko system is changing the way crew is working. How it is important, in your view, the human factor in digital transformation? So are we slowly replacing human's role, or we are enhancing their capabilities? What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think that's a question that probably drives many conversations these days. Like, is advanced technology replacing jobs, or is it enhancing them? And I can offer two perspectives on this question, both from the experience that we have made over the past 2 to 4 years that we have been actively in the market and providing our solution, and also based on the conversations that we have today and how we work with our customers. So there has been a tradition of trying to automate everything because that's the easy way to think about it, right? Like when you think about digitization and using technology, you know, just automate the full process. And that has been, I think, a perspective or a direction that did not pay off. And that really shows in a new way of having conversations about technology where there's a lot of burnt earth of providers that have promised a lot and not have been able to hold these promises. And now there's a new wave of digitization that, as you said, and as also the other panelists have alluded to, puts the human in the focus and in the center and actually focuses on empowering the human. And we as Kaiku Systems have been doing that since our inception. That has been basically one of the key insights that we have tried to bring to the industry since the beginning, focusing on especially the frontline workers, the seafarers that are really carrying a large burden and keeping the ships afloat, literally. And then also making sure that this pays into the top line and the bottom line of the shipping companies by increasing crew retention, but of course also efficiency and quality, as I've been alluded to. And so the direction that we see technology going is really as a part of the process and a part of the process that makes the work more enjoyable, more exciting, and that increases all kinds of areas of the work, but that does not fundamentally replace roles. It will enhance roles, will enrich roles, and it will fundamentally transform the way that a lot of roles in shipping work today, not just on the front line, but also in the offices, because the biggest impact we do see on the way that data is computed, summarized, and actually used for decision making in the office and on the ships, there's the low hanging fruits, but the really big transformation you can see in the office with your white collar team members. And so therefore, we think that focusing on the human it will be a key factor, but it will not be easy. So when we have these conversations today with shipping companies, there's a lot of fear within teams, and it ranges from, you know, people telling us like, please stop continuing to develop your AI agent. You're going to, make my job obsolete and make my expertise obsolete that I've built up over the last decades, to people really embracing that and saying like, wow, I can, basically outsource 70% of the busy work that I'm, trying to get done every week to this AI agent, and can focus on the stuff that actually differentiates me as an expert. And but these are conversations that are being held right now within every company, I think, and where we always try to support our customers. We work with, a bit of context, we work with almost 1,000 ships across about 25 global shipping companies now. And we always try to encourage strong leadership that finds a balance or strikes a balance between, really driving vision and being, a strong leader, and also bringing in key people from the team and being receptive to concerns, but not in a way that you let the vision being stopped by voices of concern, but in the opposite, showing a future that brings along everybody and makes the work more interesting. It was a long answer, but I hope I touched upon the main points.
Very good. I think you made a very good point in the sense that the technology should be embraced firstly by the forefront men. So they will be the first one to accept it, reject it, and we have to make it user-friendly in order to be adopted. So any other speaker of the panel want to add something? Maybe Dora, you...
Yeah, with pleasure, So we started deploying AI on board 6 years ago. So concepts like ChatGPT, Gemini, all these new generative models was very, I would say, niche. No one knew them. We started working with them years ago. Now, what we see today is that, not only ourselves using ChatGPT to augment and improve our capabilities, but we also understand way better its limitations today. We know that it's not always as accurate as you might expect. It doesn't really know how to answer answers properly. Until we get to a point where AI is such a powerful tool that it can actually replace people, I think it'll take many, many years, a lot of regulation. It's not going to happen quickly. But having said that, crews on board already use ChatGPT for their day-to-day lives to do all sorts of things, automate simple tasks. And we see it's happening the same with adoption of novel technologies on board. So when you have Uber and you have world and you have all these applications making your lives better. You have ChatGPT on your phone and you use it all the time. And then you go on board and you have technology which is dated, and you still need to maintain high level of competency while operating this equipment. And you have this clash between, I have such a modern powerful tool on my pocket, but I still need to operate a ship like they operated it 20, 30 years ago. Nothing really changed there. And this is what crews today, especially younger crews, expect from novel systems. So to build properly the experience, to build properly the information you provide to them. For example, one of the things my company is doing is prioritizing risks by showing what parameters are required for the prioritization process. It doesn't replace the fact that you need to make a decision. It just helps you make a more informed decision. And I think when we introduce technology like that, and today the AI, I would say, I've been in this business for more than 10 years in AI, but today seeing AI being adopted in such a broad manner, it's really, I would say, it just shows you the potential. It shows you that it's something that everyone wants and needs. And now the challenge is on us, on the vendors, on the technology providers, is to encourage them to use it properly. And it doesn't really matter if it's on board or on the shore. On the shore, the benefits are immense, but we need to be very careful, right? We can't just assume everyone are willingly and happily sharing their data with these models. So it's an educational process. It will take time. The regulation here is way, way behind. It'll take it years to come to play, but it's being adopted now. And I can see it on scale with every client we speak with. They always, when they hear AI in your solution, they say, hey, is this like ChatGPT or something else? 5 years ago, no one knew what that was. Yeah. It was like a big unknown, you know, technology, so, which is going to replace
there
it.
There is much more awareness, and this will help the development for sure. Pankaj, I think you will comment something about our powerful device that we are bringing in our pocket. I know that your view is connected to mobility in general. But I would like you to comment. We had the expectation, no, in 5 years what will be the industry, and we have positive view. I would like to ask you, which are the obstacles instead when you approach a shipping company in implementing and integrating new digital solution?
Right. So the biggest problem with shipping, especially in the digital space, is we're sitting on a lot of legacy data and legacy systems. And they were designed and developed at a time when connectivity was very low. So everything was designed around how can we do with minimum? How can we get minimum data across and be able to do our work? And one of the pitfalls that time was integration was never a focus. So all these legacy systems, they are surviving in silos. And there's a huge switchover cost. We know there are a lot of planned maintenance systems which were developed 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Now you're sitting on a whole set of data and you're not able to migrate. So that's where the problem is starting from. Second thing, the design. Everything was designed in a very engineerish way so that the ship staff would do that minimum and get away with it. But the modern day design is very different. Designing a software, designing an application, it has to be very intuitive. When we get our cell phone and we switch and we get a new version of the software, we don't open a manual, we don't open a guidebook or a tutorial to tell us how to use that application. It's very intuitive. Yet, every application that we install on board requires a very specific user manual and even a course how to learn to do things. And frankly speaking, we're achieving more on our phones than on the PCs over there. So this is the second element about getting the design and the human in the center approach. The third problem is, it's coming from the first one, is that we are in many different data structures which are not talking to each other. And this is something that I do hope and expect from AI to be able to solve this problem. There have been industries like insurance industry which struggled with this kind of problem, and they've managed to solve it with AI. So this is where I see the three aspects, the integration, the design, and the legacy as the obstacles to what we want to achieve in the future.
Thank you, Pankaj. Very, very good point. Cost of integration, of course, this is something that we have to take into account whenever we approach a change in our industry. Frederike, 044 focus on providing digital solutions for carbon emission management. How do you see the role of digital tools in helping the maritime industry meet its ambitious climate targets? And also, more in general, how do you see companies harnessing the data analytics to make more informed decision to reduce operational cost?
Yeah, I think it's actually unavoidable. You need to use data because I don't think the human brain with an Excel sheet is able to do the math yet. The whole decarbonization journey is full of uncertainty because we don't know yet which fuel types will be the fuel types that work. We don't know yet where the regulation is exactly going, and you don't know yet where your ship is going next year or this year even. So there's uncertainty all the time, and the common wisdom is that we try to reduce uncertainty as much as we can. And a way to do that is use smart data, so really systematically learn from the past patterns in the data that we can see and to use best guesses about the future and to have easy ways to adapt your plans to new learnings. So we had it on the previous panel, shipping always needs to be very agile. And I think to be successful on the decarbonization path, we need a lot of agility. When we come back to the obstacle question, what I'm missing sometimes is a little bit of agility when it comes to trying out new digital tools. Because one obstacle I see in addition to the points Pankaj mentioned, which are all very, very true, is that I think shipping, all industries, all people, but shipping specifically maybe, wants to trust and control the data they're using, especially if these data have financial consequences. So if I'm sending an invoice to a charterer or if I'm having to hand in EUAs, I don't necessarily trust the machine to tell me what's right. I actually want to control what's right. And if I'm doing the Excel sheet, then I know what I put in there and I took control of these data, right? So there is, in a way, sometimes there's a conflict of interest in, do we want machines to collect the data and send them to shore and then have a truth and then learn from it by AI? That's kind of what digital people say, right? Data is a means to an end, but in itself, it's a neutral element. But our customers often see data as a commercial interest, as a property. So what we have to achieve as suppliers is to make them trust the analysis we provide, give a lot of transparency about the way we calculate. That's also something that AI doesn't do very well because there's so much magic in the background for us non-data scientists that you kind of, we have learned to trust it, but it's not so easy, right? So I think it's important to somehow bridge that gap and provide tools and ways to work with the data that still gives our customers control over these data. And especially for decarbonization, that's very true because so much cost risk is attached to it and so many heavy investment decisions are attached to it. So it's about new build calculations and retrofit calculations. It's about enormous sums of money. When I come back to the agility part, what we want as software providers is so little money compared to that. Try it out. We might not have the answer, right? But there might really be a benefit for the industry to try out these things. They are much less costly than a new build, really much less. And then maybe the transition challenge becomes a little bit less, because in some parts you could even scratch what you have and just start a new process and start without a burden and just try it out, because we need to learn together and do this. So agility to then successfully decarbonize with digital solutions is probably my long answer to your question.
Thank you very much, Frederick. I think trust in data is again very, very important. There is this new trend of explainable AI. So to know what is behind the AI suggested advices, no? So because as you said, most of the time behind the answer of AI, also on ChatGPT, etc., is a black box. So we don't know why it's answering that. But since the main decision in the future will be based on these answers, we need to know from which all the steps that the AI has taken to give this answer. I think this is very, very important. The transparency of the process also to reach a certain answer. Okay, so Donna, I would like to come back to you, but this is for all the panel because it's very wide, let's say, topic, and I'm talking about autonomous vessel. Of course, we can say that one of the effects of adoption of artificial intelligence is an acceleration through autonomous vessel. Given your background in AI and also maritime navigation, which are in your view the key benefits and also the potential risk associated with adoption of AI in the autonomous vessel world?
Okay, thank you, Fiorenzo. So just a little bit of background. Myself, I was in reserves duty for 15 years operating unmanned surface vehicles. Other than that, I'm a navigation instructor and navigation officer, and we have been happily collaborating in developing the first commercial autonomous ship in Japan, where Orca AI powered the perception of that ship. Having said that, I think that per se, autonomous ships and autonomous shipping is not the end goal. It's an enabler of something, and that something should come as an economical drive for companies to adopt. If there is a return on investment, we'll see adoption of autonomous ships. This is how I see it. First and foremost, it has to have economical benefits without compromising safety and without compromising anything out of the ordinary. So the approach in compliance areas like IACS and IMO work en masse is human equivalency. Now, while it has its own logic on why it should be human equivalent, I'm not 100% sure that we know what humans actually do on board. And this is something I'm not saying because I don't know. It's because it's very vague. If we just begin with SOLAS and specifically call regs, very vague. You can't really model an autonomous ship based on call regs because call reg has a lot of human input of understanding of what's going on. And the environment and the world are very complex. So while there are challenges in compliance and regulation and technology, of course, and redundancy and stability, I will not take the discussion to the technical part. I will go take the discussion to what are the benefits of autonomous navigation and autonomous ships technology. So first of all, we need to focus on use cases. I don't see that all use cases of shipping are suitable for autonomous navigation. Probably open sea navigation for autonomous ships will occur under human supervision, similar to aviation, probably. Complex tasks like entering ports, it's not going to be autonomous. Maybe some, you know, offshore work, cable laying, mundane tasks will have benefits from autonomous ships. And this is why we see a lot of market in smaller autonomy. And of course, the defense sector. So all the dull and dangerous tasks will be more automated with less people in harm's way. So there are many benefits. The technology to empower that relies, of course, on ability of machines to have proper perception of the environment, to understand context, which is what my company is doing. It's very hard, by the way, to create context from the real world and make it digital because the world is complex. But assuming we'll find economical benefits, we can and should remove people from operations. Depends on the use cases and depends on the quality that is needed. This is my take on autonomous ships.
Thank you.
I don't see it happening very soon. Maybe in some use cases under supervision. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dor. So no compromise on safety, and I fully advocate this being part of classification societies, but In general, also to understand that the autonomous is coming in stages. So at the beginning, we'll be supporting human decision and not replacing it. So anyone else want to comment on autonomous vessel? Maybe Pankaj, you have some thoughts?
Yeah. It's not my expertise in autonomous vessels, but I agree with Dor quite a lot on the application that semi-autonomous or like how airline industry is adapted to it. But I want to allude to a little bit towards putting human in the center is that the navigator on board, when he's on the bridge, he's looking at multiple equipments at all times, and we are going on adding equipments over there. And he has to take all factors into account while making those decisions. What autonomous shipping or autonomous technologies is likely to do is do all those calculations right in front of the navigators and for them to select, according to their judgment, the best options from there, or override when they feel the autonomous aspect is not doing as expected.
Thank you very much, Pankaj. So, what about, we'd like to come back to on the human element and about making more appealing to work for this industry. So, how do you think the digital transformation could help in making more interesting the job in the shipping industry? Frederike, maybe you can.
Yeah, if I look at our line of work, it's taking away all these repetitive things where you just fill a spreadsheet with data every day, or where, I don't know, data are being sent by email to shore, and then a shore team types in the noon report into a computer that then goes into the spreadsheet. That's really not interesting work, and it's not using human beings to their potential. So I think what we can do as software providers with digital tools, we can take away these repetitive tasks. Fabian mentioned the same for the onboard staff, right? That just do the same stuff every day, and that's boring stuff. And I think there's room for more interesting work, and there's a talent scarcity for shipping onshore and on the ship. So if we can make the people that we have more efficient and their jobs more interesting, I think that's a very, very good thing.
Thank you very much, Fredrik. So Fabian, please.
Yeah, I'd like to love to add to that and maybe also combine the last two questions that you asked. What we would like to see is more autonomous vessels in terms of how the crews operate. What we've seen is that a lot of the expertise and therefore decision-making and knowledge has been moved actually from the ship to the shore. And a lot of the underlying issue, we believe, lies in a certain sense of a culture that does not really incentivize high performance and good decision making, but instead often very much penalizes and punishes mistakes and failures. And so in an organization that does not ask the highest performance and incentivizes great decisions and a great job done also on board of the ships, we see that a lot of knowledge is moving towards the shore, and that is a vicious cycle that doesn't really help everybody. And so promoting a way between the officers and the rating, and also between the ship and the shore, to encourage people to make decisions will also lead to faster decisions and to a higher level of quality, and therefore could turn this around. And so we believe that it all starts with the culture, and then the digital tools are out there. I think just look at the people on this panel here. There's not a shortage of smart technology that has been developed over the last, you know, multiple years and has been perfected and tested on some of the companies out there. But still, it's way too early to say, you know, just implement this technology on all the ships and all your problems will be solved. The underlying issue, and I mentioned this now a few times, lies somewhere else. And if some companies are able to solve this issue and drive forward with a sense of optimism and encouragement of their team members ashore and on the vessels, then they can finally harness like all this new technology, as like many other industries have been doing already for a while. And then I think all these puzzle pieces will be able to come together. And some companies are out there and are really pushing ahead. And what we see is that they will also take some certain lead in some areas, and will get an advantage that will be hard to catch up. So, yeah, I can only reiterate what Friederike said. I'd encourage being optimistic and trying things out faster and trying not to be left behind in what's currently happening, not just in shipping, but in the way that asset-heavy industries operate and all industries are really transforming right now.
Thank you very much, Fabian. So we have come to an end of this interesting panel. Let me extend my thanks to all the panelists for their insights, very valuable. I believe the most important takeaway of today is that the industry should embrace innovation, digitalization, should continue to innovate and be pioneer today to foster the adoption of a solution of tomorrow. So the industry is at the verge of a digital revolution, and it's up to us to harness this possibility and opportunity. So thanks a lot again to everyone, and enjoy the rest of the interesting day. Thank you.
Thank you very much.